Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know what? If I'm an individual player, and I don't condone this, and I think it's reckless, I think it's stupid, I think it's dumb, but if you're a fringe guy, and you know that a positive test in training camp isn't just going to get you shut down for 3 weeks, it's going to get you cut. I can't help but wonder whether some of these guys are thinking about deliberately exposing themselves now so they can get the antibodies, because people think if you have the antibodies, you're good to go. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
What is going on with the SEC teams down south, and Clemson included, who's obviously an ACC team? A lot of their players are coming down with COVID-19. Oddly enough. So are they trying to herd immunity their teams so these guys can get sick now as opposed to getting sick during the college football season, if in fact there is one?
What?
What? It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
What?
Yeah. That you heard Mike Florio, he was on with Dan Bernstein in June, and of course Boomer was on WFAN. Oh, hard to imagine people would actually act that way, but I wouldn't put it past some of the people you hear from. At any rate, let's bring in Anthony Heron. He joins us now on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Anthony, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Anthony.
Molly, David, good morning to both of you, man. We are consuming a lot of new information in a variety of ways in 2020.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I mean, you know, we had a chance to talk to Tommy Hotovy yesterday, and he described his battle, the ordeal that he went through with COVID-19. And I got to tell you, you would be – and I don't care how young you are, how healthy you are, what your background might be. You could be, you know genetically cloned with perfect DNA, and I'm telling you, you don't want this, and you'd be a fool to try to get it, and your coach would be a criminal if he was trying to herd immunize everybody. I just think that some of the stuff out there, and I don't doubt some of it, to be honest with you, Anthony, but it's insane.
It is. On the SiriusXM Big Ten show that I do, last week I ended up bringing on a guy named Dr. Bill Maurice. He's the president of the Mayo Clinic Labs, because for me, you know, you guys obviously go through it every morning here, where you're communicating information about folks, and there's not sports going on, and there's plenty of real things happening. So we're talking about everything, and we're trying to communicate what I'm reading, what I'm talking to about folks, what my perception of things would have been as an athlete or a coach at that point from my past experience. But at a certain point, it seemed important. Let me just get an actual doctor. Let me get somebody who deals in this stuff on a daily basis on the show. And, you know, Dr. Maurice was legitimately, I suppose, sort of glasses half full about the thought that the fall sports season in college could end up coming to play. That being said, he did have a lot of very real things from an informational standpoint about the gravity of COVID-19 and how the medical industry has been dealing with it and still learning about it throughout this. And that's one of the things I think that, unsurprisingly, people tend to overreact to, where a few months ago, certain information seemed different, was consumed different, was communicated differently than it is now, especially related to masks. It would kind of probably be the hottest button thing that the medical industry has reshaped or evolved on. And Dr. Maurice said that whether it was with his team at the Mayo Clinic, whether you're talking about the CDC, the WHO, the recognition now that masks can be effective are in a lot of ways effective. Like at the Mayo Clinic, he told me that initially they weren't necessarily pushing staff and patients to 100% of the time have masks on. And what they recognized was once they became more strict, more stringent with making sure everyone had masks, everyone had face shields, pretty much in every phase of their communication, they were able to greatly diminish the amount of transmission that took place of COVID-19 within the walls there at the Mayo Clinic, and kind of the one spot where they do still tend to see some transmission within their walls is the spots where folks are maybe a bit more casual near the front door or in the break room, where maybe you take your mask down, you're drinking something, you're eating something, you're communicating with folks in a casual atmosphere. But things like that, that I think, you know, all of us, and especially those who are still a bit more pessimistic about the information with some of these things, it seems to make sense to trust the doctors. And I think that's where both at the professional and the collegiate level, everyone needs to get medical professionals involved in that communication cycle with their teams, as opposed to just trusting coaches and the standard administrators that these athletes see every day to be the ones communicating that.
It's a good point, Anthony. And I think much like you see maybe in the federal government, but with the NCAA failing to apply a universal standard for these programs to follow, what you've seen is kind of a hodgepodge, haphazard approach to bringing players back onto their respective campuses. And I think that's probably in part, you know, why you see some of these outbreaks. They came back too soon, or they came back without having precautions or any guidelines to follow. When you leave it up to the respective schools or conferences, you're going to get the results that we have gotten. So I guess in that context, where's your confidence level that there will be a college football season this fall without having it to move it to 2021?
I'm not nearly as confident we'll see college football this fall as I am NFL football. Now, my various college football employers, everyone's, you know, moving forward as though there's going to be a season. Everyone's hopeful of that. But the NFL, not only just the financial ramifications of it, but of course you're just dealing with 32 different franchises and the players for that, as opposed to, and especially one way I've tried to be fair with the NCAA, as much as I criticize them on this particular topic, where they're not just dealing with the 130 football bowl subdivision teams. You do have the FCS, or what we used to call 1AA teams. You got Division II, Division III. They oversee all of college athletics. So all the biggest decisions and the ones we tend to report on most are, of course, with the major programs, especially now what's thought of as those 60 Power 5 teams. But they do have to have guidelines in place for everyone. But I think that, and what I've been talking about on my show, is communicating and putting in place a minimum standard, which it seems they're attempting to work towards now, is the bare minimum the NCAA should do, because not everyone has the same resources financially. So I don't think you can expect that, you know, App State will be able to do exactly the same thing as Ohio State. But that being said, for where we're at today in modern times, they need to put a minimum standard, an amount, a frequency of testing that's in place, the type of personnel who needs to be around your program on a regular basis as these things are happening, and how that needs to be communicated to athletes, to their parents. I think some of those would go towards what I think should be a minimum standard before you're saying you're actually going to allow folks back onto the competitive field or court.
Anthony, what's it been like for you watching what's happened with Iowa? You know, hearing all the stories and the tales that have been told, both published on Facebook and different players coming out. And are you in touch with anyone there? We know Chris Doyle has been fired, the former strength and conditioning coach, and those allegations are very disturbing. Did you face any of this stuff? Have you been in touch with people? What's your take on all of this?
So I had Hayden Fry and his staff my first 2 years at Iowa, and then Kirk Ferentz and Chris Doyle came in going into my junior year. So my last 2 years at Iowa, I had Ferentz and Doyle and a number of coaches who are actually still there now. Some of them are guys who were teammates of mine there. So, yes, I'm still in close contact with the program. As a disclaimer, Kirk Ferentz is a guy who every time I see him, I say, hey, I love you, coach, and we still, you know, we still stay in touch at this point and have communicated throughout the last few weeks here. I think that I said immediately that the day all this was breaking, I never saw Chris Doyle myself as what I would term as a racist. I and there's a variety of ways that me, friends of mine have debated over the years, just how strictly I suppose you would define that term. But did I see him make inappropriate comments? Yeah. Have I seen him say things that I don't think he'd say to a white player that he said to a black player? Yes. And nothing I would say to the gravity of what some of the younger players, the more recent Iowa grads, have experienced there. But I have no problem believing a lot of the stories that have come out of there because, as you guys know, I mean, the locker rooms, weight rooms, whatever, tend to be a fairly inappropriate communication environment anyway. And there's lines that get crossed, and that doesn't make it okay. That doesn't mean it's right. And especially when you have, whether you're talking about Kirk Ferentz, the head coach, Chris Doyle, the strength coach, to me, it is a monumental responsibility when folks are sending their teenagers off to you and saying, all right, you got them for the next 3 years, 5 years, whatever the case may be. And hopefully they're better by the time you send them back to me or we all send them off into the world. So that matters. And as was the case with Chris Doyle, if that trust is violated, if folks are feeling like they didn't have the experience that they thought they should have, and especially for some of the specifics that we heard about the way he communicated with players, I don't have any problem with them reaching the separation agreement where he's no longer the head strength coach there.
Did they go far enough, Anthony? I know you're a rational guy, but Kirk Ferentz is the head coach, and head coaches are responsible for everything mm-hmm. that happens, you know, under their watch during their time there in their program, and he remains the head coach.
It's a valid question. One thing, the internal and external investigations are ongoing right now. So whether we're talking Kirk Ferentz as the head coach, his son / offensive coordinator Brian Ferentz has continued to come up in some public, you know, outcry from former players who dealt with him as well. Here's my thought. I believe, and again, I'm operating from a bias here, from how I see Kirk Ferentz, but I believe that at what's going to be 65 years old by the time the football season rolls around, he's been at Iowa. This would be his 22nd season, assuming he continues to be the head coach. But there are things that need to change about Iowa football to make everyone feel included, to make everyone feel like, as an individual, that they don't have to become this completely different person. There were some of those changes, some of those adjustments that Kirk Ferentz was already beginning to make. A bit of it between himself and the athletic director, Gary Barta, was maybe like sort of turning a battleship. What wasn't happening with the speed, with the urgency that made everyone comfortable. And now that some of these reports have come out publicly, even something as simple as what was a Twitter ban, where his players weren't allowed to be on Twitter, that's been lifted. And, you know, guys can communicate, especially about what's happening in modern times. And we see around college sports where players voicing their opinion, guys having a voice, guys feeling like they can influence their journey, whether it's dealing with their coaches or experiences around their campus. That's important, and I think that's a great thing, and it will continue to help, I think, move things down the line of name, image, and likeness becoming a reality, as some folks are starting to vote that into law. So allowing his players to feel like they do have personal agency is a big deal, and it in some ways goes against this very rigid sort of team-first approach that Ferentz has already taken that has led to a lot of success since he's been at Iowa. But to relax a bit of that, so a lot of guys who felt like they couldn't be themselves, their genuine selves, I do think it's going to lead to positive things. And I think my thought is Kirk Ferentz can be a part of that change. And frankly, guys, if he is, as a white guy in his mid-60s, and for the Iowa fan base to see him willing to listen, to change, to adjust, to hear his players on things like this, especially as it relates to potentially kneeling during the national anthem, or even if it's not kneeling, just some other team sort of unified signal that may take place during the anthem amongst Iowa football players, to allow things like that to happen, that's important. I think that could lead to a big perception of the change as opposed to someone else having to come in and lead that.
Anthony, thanks a ton. I wish we had more time. There's a lot there, and we didn't get to everything, but really appreciate your time.
Great stuff.
Well, David, I appreciate you guys.
That is Anthony Heron. He's a very thoughtful person, and a lot of good stuff there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.